Hello, teachers. We are in the second lesson, the second week of our study in 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude. And it's amazing how much this lesson ties into last week's lesson. Now, Sunday school is best a best practice of open groups, meaning you expect new people every week. And so it's really important when the text kind of moves on from week to week and when one text really relates well to the other, that you make sure that you realize that there are people in the room that may not have been there last week, and make them feel welcome. You don't want to make this feel like a club that they're not a part of. You want people to feel welcome to be a part of what's going on here. That being said, when we go into 1st and 2nd Peter, Peter's been starting to make an argument, and his argument, or it really is an encouragement. He's saying, you have actual hope. You have this living hope that came when Christ was raised from the dead, and you were begotten by Jesus Christ in his death and burial and resurrection. And so because of that, you have this actual hope, and it's a hope that doesn't fade away. It's a hope that's reserved in heaven for you. And it's a hope that the prophets spoke about, and you are now realizing it's even one that the angels look into. And so this hope of salvation, not just of being saved in the moment that when you call on the Lord, but actually salvation that's going to come one day when Jesus comes back and we're going to be taken away from this earth and sin and the corruption and the death. And for the people he's writing to, the persecution and difficulty that they were going through. And so he's saying that now today, what he does is he says, because you have that hope, you need to live as hopeful people, and hopeful people looking for Jesus to come back ought to be holy people. And that's what this lesson is about, being holy. Believers have a living hope that points them to holiness. So we're going to look at three realities that point believers to holiness that are referred to here in this text. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 35. The first thing that points us to holiness is this call to be holy by God. And by what, of course, he's referring to the Old Testament here in a second, but he's also saying, because of the hope that you have, you are called to be holy, and I'm calling you now to holiness, just like the Old Testament teachers did. He says, wherefore, because of that hope that you have, verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. There's three commands here. Gird up the loins of your mind. The idea of girding up the loins is literally they would take the robes that they would wear and they would belt them up. They would bring up the ankle length robes up to the knee. They would tie it around their waist so that they could get ready to work. They would get ready to run. They would exert some physical activity. Today we would, you know, if you're in church and someone asks you to help stack chairs or to move tables, a lot of times the men, if they're dressed up at all, they'll take their coats off, they'll roll up their sleeves. It's the idea that they're getting ready to do something. And he says here, gird up the loins of your mind. What he's saying is be prepared to think differently, to think a certain way over time until that salvation is realized. He says literally to give a full expression to it, be sober, be serious minded, think rightly. And then he says, hope to the end, hope to the end, meaning that living hope that you have that's realized, you need to believe in it and trust in it, knowing Jesus coming back, and you need to live as people who are going to live rightly until Christ comes back. He says, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There it is. So you need to think this way. You need to literally hope, have this way of thinking, believing and trusting Jesus to come back all the way till he gets back. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So he goes, children tend to do what they're told to do and taught to do. That's what you ought to do. Not living the way you used to. Verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation means lifestyle, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges every according to every man's work. So here's that calling. We talked about being called to be holy. Here's the calling, the hope that you have. It leads to right thinking. I'm gonna live until Jesus comes back. I'm gonna live trying to do what God wants me to do, to be obedient. And this God who has given me this calling to be holy is holy, and he is going to judge every man's work. It says, without respect of persons. That's the idea of like, there are no people that are on the ends with God more than others. Like, God, he treats everybody the same. Everyone's equal under the law, right? And he says, without respecting of persons, judges according to every man's work. He says, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Well, that's weird. Fear? Because we have hope, we should have fear. Yeah, because we have hope that Jesus is coming back and that could be at any moment. We should have a respect and awe for God and that he's going to come back at some point and our works are going to be evaluated. Now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So that means that we ought to live. That's a good thing, but it means that our works are going to be tried. And so we should be holy. So we're called to be holy. God calls us for that. Number two, we're redeemed to be holy. One reason we should be holy is because of the price that was paid for our redemption. That's really the idea with this next section. He says, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed, verse 18, with corruptible things as with silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here, Peter is referring to the fact that Jesus is this lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is this lamb that laid down his life like the sacrificial lambs of old that were of no spot, no blemish. He is the ultimate perfect spotless lamb whose blood was shed so that we could be redeemed. And he says, basically, you should be holy because of what it cost. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So we should be holy because of the cost that it was to make us holy, and not just positionally, but progressively. So we've been called to be holy. We've been paid, redeemed to be holy in terms of God paid for it with his own son's blood. And then we see number three, that we're equipped to be holy. In verse 22, you see this. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love for the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. What he's saying is, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you've been purified. That leads to love for the brethren. He says, verse 23, being born again. Again, this is this idea of what have we done? What do we have that equips us to be holy? Well, one, we've been born again. We're regenerated. We go from death to life. How are we born again? Not of corruptible seed, not of seed that dies, right? But of incorruptible. What's that seed? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So you have this equipping. What's the equipping? You've been equipped to be holy. How? You were saved. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You are no longer a slave. You're a son and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So you're born again. How are we born again? By the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. So he says, the word of God lives and abides forever, for all flesh is a grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we've been equipped to be holy, equipped to do what God wants us to do. How? By the word of God that has made us saved and that makes us sanctified. So we're equipped for holiness. So that's the idea of this lesson. We're called to be holy. We were paid for with the the precious blood of Christ so that we can be made right with God and become holy. And we're equipped to be holy by that word that that saved us and that word that it cleanses us. And so that word lives and abides forever. I hope that helps you. I hope that it gives you some kind of sense of what we're trying to teach our people. I think the application here is pretty clear. Like we need to be people who are repenting of sin. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you aren't saved, and if you are saved, you need to live lives that reflect the price that has been paid, the hope that we have, and the word that we have that equips us to do everything God wants us to do. We have everything we need for life and godliness in the Word of God. So I hope that helped you. Have a great day.